KQOD Radio. All truth, all the time. Welcome to WGOD Radio with pastor and Bible teacher, Dr. Paul Esposito. God is always broadcasting, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. As we tune into His frequency, we will daily hear His voice and receive instruction, encouragement, and daily direction in our lives. Now here to help tune you in is Paul Esposito.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker. I'm Dr. Paul Esposito, and I thank you for joining us here today, friends. God bless you. It is finally Friday here, and I thank you for taking 30 minutes of your Friday to join me as we together study the Word of Almighty God. It's a wonderful thing. I get to study and prepare all week, you know, for these sermons that I preach on Sunday. And at least you guys tell me that you're blessed from what you hear and that you learn a lot, and that's music to my ears. Praise God for His Holy Spirit who gives us the understanding. It's not me. No, God gets all the credit for all things, because He's done the work, and He does great work, too. That's why someone can say to me, you know, that was a great sermon. And I say, yeah, you know, I think it was, because I didn't do it. God gets all the glory. God gets all the credit. He is the one that's done the work. I've seen the evidence of what I look like and sound like without God. So, good sermon. Thank you. Yeah, I appreciate that very much. Let's give the glory where the glory is due. And that is to Almighty God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. I invite you out to church this weekend. We're going to wrap up 1 John this weekend. My sermon is entitled The Holy Trinity, that we're not going to spend a lot of time there. We're going to look at a famous verse, 1 John chapter 5, verse 7, which is a very debatable text. And that's all I'll say about it for now. You'll hear me talk about it on the sermon next week. But I invite you to come by and hear it in person Sunday morning, 10:30. If you're looking for a church home, if you're new to the area, and if you like what you hear on WGOD, or if you're sick and tired that your pastor never opens up the Bible where you go, then I invite you. Friend, time is short out here in this world. I invite you to come by our church, see and pray if this is where God would want you to be, because He's doing a great work at our church. And I invite you to see if the Lord wants you to take part of that. Here today, this sermon is entitled The Last Trumpet. The next one in this series we're going to listen to would be The Doctrine of the Rapture. That's not Paul Esposito's opinion on when he wants the rapture to be, because I'd love to sit around and play chess with Paul and have Hawaiian Punch and Twinkies as much as the next man. But we're going to look at the doctrine. What does the Bible say about the rapture? That'll be the next one after this. But now here for this series, here today and Monday, The Last Trumpet.
Moving right along in our series here through the book of Revelation. CDs from the past couple of weeks are in a little box back there on that table with the flowers on it directly. Well, both tables have flowers on them. The one right behind the Bledsoes there, there's a box with CDs in it from, I believe, every week. I said it last week and I'll say it again. It's surprising at just how easy to understand this book has been this time through, am I right? Especially once we understand the meaning of the symbols. And we're going to have to fall back on that understanding this week as we start chapter 12. Now, here are the symbols so far, okay? I'll give you the symbol, you give me the meaning, okay? The lamb, the stars. In chapter 1 it is, God bless your heart, the stars, Revelation 12, who are the stars symbol of? the angels, the sword. True, but in symbols, the sword is a means of execution. When Paul said in Romans 13 and 14 about obeying the governor and the government and the president and obey the laws, he said that they don't bear the sword in vain. It's capital punishment. The horse in Revelation. So a sword is a means of execution. Horse, transportation. The dragon, Satan. The beast, Antichrist, or unholy trinity. Because the false prophet's going to be called the beast as well. So unholy trinity. And now this week, we're going to add a few more. The next one is going to be the woman. The woman is Israel. And the male child. Any guesses? Right, Jesus. Now, we left off last week and last Wednesday evening with the death of the two witnesses. And this promise right afterwards. This is the second woe is past. Behold, the third woe is coming soon. Let's turn, please, Revelation chapter 11, starting in verse 15. You know, as just a personal admittance to you, I've always been fearful of preaching this out of the pulpit on Sunday morning because I always figured it was too hard to understand. And, boy, have I been proven wrong going through this every week. I mean, every week we've learned something, haven't we? Has the Holy Spirit blessed his word every week? Is the word of God true? What does he say in chapter 1? Blessed are those who hear and read and keep the words of this book. He hasn't let us down. He's kept his word again. It's a little scary to see what we've learned, isn't it, Jackie? Some doctrine we believed in before is on shaky ground now. Which is why next week we're going to take a one-week break. Next Sunday, my sermon is entitled The Doctrine of the Rapture. That's what we're going to look at next week. Not what my opinion or anyone's opinion is. What does the Word of God say about the rapture? What is it? Where does it happen? And when does it happen? And what happens if you miss it? Four things. What is it? Where is it? When is it? And what happens if you miss it? That'll be next Sunday. Then the week after that, we'll look at the Antichrist. Week after that, we'll look at the false prophet. And moving right along here in this book. Revelation chapter 11, verse 15. Then the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders who sat before God on their thrones fell on their faces and worshiped God, saying, we give you thanks, O Lord God Almighty. Now catch the name of God, the one who is and was and is to come. The verb to be is God's name. That's what Jehovah means. I am. He who is and was and is to come. Notice past, present, and future. Because you have taken your great power and have reigned. The nations were angry and your wrath has come. And the time of the dead that they should be judged. And that you should reward your servants, the prophets and the saints. And those who fear your name, small and great, and should destroy those that destroy the earth. You know, dare I say, here today, Darren, that the last trumpet is perhaps the most significant thing to occur in the book of Revelation. The last trumpet. Remember, a chapter or two back, we read, at the last trumpet, the mystery of God will be finished. I want you to see the significance of the last trumpet. Here's a list of what transpires at the last trumpet. Four things. Number one, the Lord inherits the kingdoms of this world. Or better yet, the Lord takes back the kingdoms of this world. The Lord takes back. This is what happens at the last trumpet. You know, I'm so sick of people poo-pooing the last trumpet. Like it doesn't mean anything or it's no big deal. All right, as if the mystery of God would be finished is no big deal. Look at how important, I want everyone to see how important this is. The Lord inherits the kingdoms of this world. Number two, the Lord's reign has begun. The Lord's reign has begun. Number three, it's judgment day. Oh, that means nothing, huh? Remember, it says right here in the text, it says the time of the dead that they should be judged. Guess what? That means it's judgment day. And number four, it's reward day for the saints. Look at that, right here at the last trumpet. I can't tell you how many countless preachers I've heard say on the radio that reward day is up in heaven. While you're waiting for 7 years for everyone to break a nail down here, and you're up in heaven eating donuts and playing tiddlywinks. The reward for the saints is here on planet Earth, not in heaven. Let me give you four scripture verses. You just read one of them. All you need is one. I don't even need to give you two, but I'm going to give you four. Here's a couple more. Revelation 22:12. All right, you got Revelation 11:18. I'm showing you what the Word of God says for where you will be rewarded as a Christian. At the last trumpet, it's the first thing, Revelation 11:18. The second one, Revelation 22:12. At the end of the book, he says, "Behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me." Matthew 16:28. "Verily I say to you," I'm sorry, one verse earlier, Matthew 16:27. It says, "For the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he will reward every man according to his works." That's three. There's even two in Isaiah that I don't have with me right now. Proverbs 11:31. We'll take one from the Old Testament. Proverbs 11:31 says this. It says, "Behold, the righteous will be recompensed on the earth. How much more the wicked and the sinner?" You are paid back and repaid by the Lord for what you've done here on the earth because the Bible says so. I've just given you four references. At the last trumpet, certainly the last trumpet, grant me this, it's a significant time, right? Paul says this, "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet." Vernon McGee once called me stupid for believing that. Stupid. Ask Ron. I heard that at my dad's house long before I was. My dad had to duck as an RCA Victor went over his head. The radio that I threw. And that was the last dollar he ever got from me. Stupid if you believe the last trumpet means anything. You let the Word of God speak because it speaks loud and clear, speaking to everyone that's been following along with us every week. At the last trumpet, the mystery of God will be finished. Paul says, "I tell you a mystery." It's something no one's ever known, no one's ever heard before, that at the last trumpet, we're all going to be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. And I tell you, you're smart if you believe that, not stupid, because that's what the Word of God says. Believe the word and you're smart. Believe the word over a denomination. Any denomination. Believe the word first. Don't believe the denomination. Believe the word. Any pastors that are not in agreement with the word of God should be fired. Hire a pastor that believes the word of God. Right? It's for this cause a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. If you don't believe that as a pastor, you got to throw the man out and fire him. Give him his walking papers. The word of God first, the denomination second, and what your Aunt Betty told you third. Word of God first. Or what any seminary would tell you. I know, I'm going to get in trouble. Now we're really in trouble. What should I take first? The seminary or the word of God? Half of these seminaries are corrupt today. Who are you going to believe? My wife just said it. I encourage you, believe the word of God. Over the seminary when they're wrong. Over the denomination when they're wrong. The last trumpet. We shall not all sleep, but we'll all be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. Paul continues. By the way, that's 1 Corinthians 15, 51 and 52. He said, for the trumpet, he says it twice, the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised. Incorruptible, and we will all be changed. Sounds familiar, doesn't it, Darren? 1 Thessalonians 4:16, right? For this I say to you by the word of the Lord, that we shall not all sleep, but we'll all be changed at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised. That's twice now. When are the dead raised? John 6:39, 6:40, 6:44, and 6:54. He says it four times, Jesus, so you don't miss it. I will raise them up on the last day. As we see, something significant happens here at the last trumpet. Now, the two witnesses have been killed, and it would appear that it's the time of the end. Remember, John sees the vision from beginning to end. That's how you can have the end of the world in chapter 11. And now, chapter 12, you can go to the birth of the Messiah because he's onto another vision, and that's where we're going now. Now, a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a garland of 12 stars. Now, this is the nation of Israel and the 12 tribes of Israel and the sons of Jacob. Then, being with child, she cried out in labor and in birth and in pain to give birth. And another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, all right, here's our symbols, all four of them in the one verse. Behold, a fiery red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns. That just means he's in control of the nations. Having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 diadems on his heads. His tail drew a third of the stars. There's the next one. Remember, stars are the angels. His tail drew a third of the stars of heaven, threw them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, who was ready to give birth, to devour her child, capital C, in the New King James and the New American Standard. They want you to know who it's talking about. They capitalize personal pronouns relating to deity. To devour her child, capital C, as soon as he was born. All right, again, book of symbols. But this time I'd say, we're looking at a cosmic fight and a war between God and Satan himself. It's recorded a third of the stars followed Satan here. We see the cosmic battle to destroy the male child, the deliverer, the child, offspring of Israel, the offspring of man, and the Son of God. Verse 5, she bore a male child who was to rule all the nations with a rod of iron. Sound familiar? That's Psalm 2, verse 7, if you remember your Psalms. This day, remember, how does that go again? You are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will give you the nations for your inheritance. Psalm 2, 7. She bore a male child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child, capital C, her child was caught up to God and his throne. Greek word for caught up, same as where our word rapture comes from. Harpazo. Then the woman fled into the wilderness. Woman's who? Israel. The woman fled into the wilderness where she is a place prepared by God that they should feed her there. Oh, here comes our number. 1,260 days. How long is that? 3.5 years. Our key number. Many people think that the place where these, where the Jews would go is a place called Petra, which, like the name suggests, is made of what? Rock. Peter. That's his name. Petros. On this rock. It's a city of rock. It's where they filmed Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. Riding into horses. That great big place. It was all rocks. Remember that? That's Petra. The city of Petra. It's in Jordan, and it's as old as Adam and Eve. They say 9,000 years old. I say, well, 5,700 at least and counting. Certainly, whatever this is, again, it's referring to Israel. This is the time of Jacob's trouble. Now, onward from here, certainly one of the most joyous chapter headings I've ever heard. For coming up next, it says, Satan thrown out of heaven. Satan thrown out of heaven. But then again, I should say, joyous is a matter of opinion, right? I'm sure if heaven is your mailing address, then it's a happy sight to get rid of that old devil. But if you live on Main Street in Jerusalem, it's not a happy day for you. Talk about you thought you were having a bad day when you ran out of coffee. Wait until the devil's your next door neighbor. Verse 7, war broke out in heaven. Michael, first time I can recall seeing his name in the New Testament. Michael and his angels fought with, Michael is an archangel, one of the two or three archangels, Gabriel, Michael, and probably, help me out, his name slips me, Raphael. War broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon. The dragon and his angels fought. But they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them any longer in heaven. All right, verse 9. And the two symbols revealed in plain English. So the great dragon was cast out. That serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. And he was cast to the earth. And his angels were cast out with him. There you go. There's two of those symbols revealed to you. That the dragon certainly is Satan. And the stars are his angels. So you got devil and Satan. Meaning, pick your language. Satan is Hebrew. Meaning opposer. Devil is the word diablos. Means to accuse falsely. Or a slanderer. You know, as an aside, that is why these sins are so terrible. To accuse someone falsely or to slander someone, it's the name of Satan. When we slander other people, you're taking his own name upon yourself when you slander someone. We should not do this.
We believe that there is no stopping the child of God that is walking with him daily and is tuned in to his frequency, which is the Holy Spirit, who uses the Word of God to transform us daily and to speak to us. For more information on WGOD Radio, please check us out on the web. You'll find us on Facebook at WGOD Radio. And on Twitter at WGOD Radio. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time.
I've carried a burden for too long on my own. I wasn't created to bear it alone. I hear your invitation to let it all go. I see it now, I'm laying it down. I know that I need you. I've run to the Father, full into grace. I'm done with the hiding, no reason to wait. My heart needs a surgeon, my soul needs a friend. So I run to the Father. Condition had a plan from the start. Your son for redemption, the price for my heart. I don't have a context for that kind of love. I don't understand, I can't comprehend. All I know is I need you. I'm brought to